Welcome again to Chino y Chicano. I'm Enrique Cerna. Matt Chan's going to be joining me shortly. Well, coming up on Tuesday, January 23rd, the Seattle City Council will vote on a replacement for council position number 8, a citywide post vacated by Teresa Mosqueda when she was elected in November to the King County Council. It will be the first big decision by a council that has a majority of new members. There are 8 finalists for the job: Juan Cotto, Neha Naria, Mark Solomon, Vivian Song, Stephen Strand, Mari Sugiyama, Lin Tai, and Tanya Wu. The person selected will have to run for election in November of this year and then again in 2025. Now, the finalists participated in a public forum on Thursday night, and the next day, Matt and I got together at the Converge Media Studio to have a conversation about the forum, the finalists, and the politics behind the selection of this new council member. Here's our conversation. We both watched the forum, your take. We got to say, too, that up front here, that you've been helping Tanya Wu.
Yeah, you know, being totally transparent, I was a volunteer on her campaign.
Right.
But, you know, it was a fascinating process. I mean, if you go back to the week before when they laid out the rules, because every time they do this, the rules are different. So they just assumed that each one would put forth a nomination and that they would have 8 people. And that was the plan.
They being the council members.
The council.
Okay.
You know, it's really interesting because most people, you know, the infotainment sort of ecosystem in town, you know, try to make this a horse race, kind of a popularity contest. The bottom line is it's 8 votes. It's people on the council. And for the first time since their tenure, right? And it's a unique opportunity for them.
And short tenure, because we have a lot of new people on the council,
yes,
right?
Is that they get to choose a colleague. And they don't have to choose someone to satisfy an ideology, to balance out the ideology. They basically want a colleague they know they can work with and will help move the group's agenda forward. Because the new electeds really are kind of a group.
Right. And it's also transformed what this council is going to be going forward, because if you look at the current council that is going to be going forward here now, it has moved from being pretty far to the left to, I guess, more of a center.
Yeah, and again, centrist.
Yeah, and
in
you got to talk about Seattle. So what does that mean? Seattle
yeah,
is
what
pretty
does
much
that
a liberal
mean?
Town.
I mean, you know, Bruce Harreld isn't the king of MAGA.
Like,
you know what
true.
I mean? It's like he would be as liberal as they come for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a kind of a game the media plays in this in Seattle because it is Seattle.
Yeah, right. So, okay. So the candidates that we have out there now, let's talk a little bit about the forum and how they all came off. From what I watch, nobody made any big mistakes. I think, if anything, people are trying to show that what their abilities are, and if they're selected to be this council member that is going to be basically serving, it's going to be serving citywide, not a particular district. I know that each council member put forth somebody individually. How did that come about, actually?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the best of all possible worlds, they all felt that they would end up with maybe about 5 nominees, but when Strauss proposed that amendment, they realized, oh yeah, we should put out a number of people. So they overruled that amendment, but yet everybody did put someone forward because they would have had duplications. Because I think Bob Kettle put Tanya's name out. I know Joy would have put her name out. Kathy Moore would have put her name out there. And there was a couple others. Rob Saka had mentioned Tanya's name. So they realized that let's put more names out there. So it's a couple of names.
Because they kind of signaled where their sentiments were.
Yes.
And Tanya Wu is the one that, for the most part, many on the council are looking for to fill this seat. But they also, I suppose, are looking at, well, we need to make this a bit more wide besides, and bring in other people.
Yeah, and I think it was fair. I think it worked out fair. The one thing that was really interesting, because I'd written an op-ed about the necessity to nominate an Asian Because you know the population of Seattle is 80% Asian American, so not having representation on the city council is kind of crazy, and they have an opportunity to actually make that right. And how it worked out was all four of the Asian Americans. Well, I guess Niha would be so five Asian Americans were nominated. So everyone who applied pretty much got nominated that you know had a shot.
Yeah. So they had kind of broadened out the representation on all of this too.
Well, they made it fairer for the Asian community to have a shot.
Right. Okay. By the way, you wrote that op-ed for the South Seattle Emerald, and they got some blowback on all.
Yeah,
that.
They got a lot of blowback. I mean, again, it's white fragility, right? It was mainly white people that pushed back because you know I called it like it is. I said that in areas like the South End, there's really not enough votes, or at least there's not enough people of color that vote to make a difference. So it always defaults to what I call the new colonizers of areas like Columbia City and Beacon Hill, that you know they vote, they're civically engaged, but yet they're really removed from the actual policies. I mean, they'll cry, defund the police, Black Lives Matters, but they never have to deal with going down to the Safeway in Rainier Beach and getting shot in the parking lot. I mean, violent crimes and just the level of poverty and just people that aren't part of the system is not part of their lives. But yet that is a dominant sort of thing in the South End that they need to recognize.
So you're calling out the people that have helped to gentrify the community. And they're not liking that.
And especially the Chinatown International District, right? Even if everyone voted, there's still not enough votes to swing anything. Yeah. So that's why it's in the state it is, because there's no representation there. And that's why representation is so important.
So let's go back to the forum. Again, I thought that you know nobody made any big goofs of any sort. It's like, this is really getting an opportunity, I think, for the public to see who are the finalists and how they're going to set forth and if they are elected to the council. What did you think? How did people show up?
It was interesting because I think everybody kind of showed who they were and what their point of view was and what they would bring to the council. So I think that was a pretty fair read. I don't think it moved anyone's votes. It may a little bit. Vivian Song, Moritz would, of course, be the most wonky in her school board experience. So she tended to talk a lot in terms of policy and that sort of thing. Steve Strand was another one person that I'd known him as the captain of the West Precinct.
Right.
But he came in and he showed that he was not people assumed that he'd be pretty, pro-law enforcement and just kind of that hardcore. Seemed pretty enlightened. And I thought that came through very well.
Yeah.
And the other person I didn't know very well was Juan Cotto, and he seemed very smart, very sharp.
I know Juan well, and he's very active in the community. He's been, he used to work at Fred Hutch, and now I think he's at Bloodworks Northwest. He does a lot of sports because he's into that. But he's well known in the community, and a lot of energy, a lot of passion for the community, I think. So, everybody that has been selected as a finalist here, what the one thing they all care about, the city. So let's face it.
Yeah.
But
like you said, there were no major faux pas. I think the only one that was pretty cringe was when Niha started her answer with "my nanny," and I think that's sort of like that's such a classist kind of like what's going on at that point. I think that was the only misstep if anyone caught it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I thought everybody was pretty true to who they were.
Okay. As we mentioned here, you have been backing Tanya Wu, partly because you worked on her campaign. One of the things in the process of doing this is her trying to get this last spot on the council is that there's been much made over the fact that she lost to Tammy Morales. And questions about, why is she even being considered? Because she lost to Morales. Although she nearly beat Morales, and that was a very close race. What do you say to people who bring that up?
Well, I would say a lot of the other people that applied had run and lost also. I mean, Mark Solomon ran against Morales and lost handily. I think he lost by a couple thousand votes. So I don't think that's, you know, that's one of those things where you make it up just because you think it sounds right, but is it actually
fair? Make it up,
fair?
What do you mean?
Well, that you have to make something up that's negative.
Okay.
You know,
you gotta
and
find
I think
something.
In a way there is some merit to that because all the council members have probably made their decision. So what they're looking for are reasons not to actually cast a vote for someone they didn't nominate. Okay. I mean, so that's it's more that than, because you've only got one vote for the person that you want.
No matter what, the council is changing.
Yes.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk about it, and people saying, oh, it's becoming more conservative. Well, in Seattle, it might be moving more to the center, I suppose, yeah, than anything else. And I think that's really the big change of what's going on from the last election. I mean, it's going to be a whole different council.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people talk about this move to the center. I don't think that's what it is as much as it is there's full accountability now, right? The mayor's office can't point at the council and say, well, you know, these people won't work with me. And each other in the councils are like, well, you know, we're opposed to each other on these topics. Everyone's kind of on the same team now. So they own the train set. So the accountability is what's important. Not necessarily that the city has become more moderate or whatever. I think the fact is it's accountability that's really important at this point.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the sentiment in the city, I think from a lot of people, is that the issues of public safety have become, you know, on the table as far as, I think, what the results of the city council races, I think, really reflected the fact that, you know, public safety is an issue, housing is an issue, but also there's a sense of like, okay, we want something that is, you know, more of a common sense range, or, you know, they want policing, mm-hmm, and they want that public safety to be there. And let's face it, we have a lot of issues in the city regarding public safety, particularly the fact that our staffing with police is down, and they're challenged trying to get new officers in.
Well, they have 4 years now to figure it out.
Yeah.
And they don't have a pandemic. They don't have social upheaval. You know,
at least right now.
Yeah, right now. Let's hope, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they got a pretty good shot to just really work on this.
Yeah.
And maybe bring new eyes to it that aren't necessarily political or ideological. Because the mandate was clear. It's like, we want safer streets. Now, and that doesn't mean we need to police our way out. More cops on the street doesn't make us necessarily safer. But if there's more police investigating, you know, researching crimes, coming up with alternatives to policing and stuff, I think that's important. And that's what they promised to do, and they never delivered.
Yeah, well, I think it's like most things. What you want is, if you're going to have more police, you want good police.
Yeah.
And you want good policing, you want good law enforcement. That's what you expect out of government. You want government that's hopefully going to be good government, and, you know, which is a challenge. You know, the other thing is that this is going to be such an interesting year. I mean, in some respects, this is going to be a year of not only for Seattle, but for the country, a major election year. And who knows where we're going to end up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's...
I know, that's the thing. We don't know.
I mean, I hope I know, but, you know, the problem is always, you know, our business, the media.
Yeah.
Really, are 2,000 vote winning the Iowa caucus by 2,000 votes a major landslide victory? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but yet every kind of crazy utterance or nuance or something is amplified. So that means that it's actually a thing. Where it may not be with most people. Most people work, they raise their kids, they do everything, and then they'll start paying attention towards the end when they have to vote for something. And hopefully common sense will prevail.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot could change between now and Election Day in November. And also with the city council, much could change now that whatever shift that they have, as you said, it's like, you know, the mayor can't point out that the council won't work with me, and the council can't do the same now. Now it's like, okay, put up
Yeah, and that's the positive. I mean, you know, the media is going to look at it like, well, it's their train set. They're going to break it now. So, no, we have a real lucid chance right now to get everybody on the same page and work collaboratively to get something. I mean, let's face it. We don't have Karayesh Sawant, you know, forcing the council to take votes on Hamas, right?
Right.
That's a situation that is horrible. It needs attention. But it's not something the city of Seattle, city council needs to be attending to.
Well, it's local government. Focus on what affects us on a daily basis. So we shall see.
The Chino y Chicano podcast is available on your favorite podcast provider.
You can watch the video version on YouTube and Converge Media, a leading producer of culturally relevant content in the Pacific Northwest. We'll talk more later.